appreciate that. Perhaps that song of Ron Hamilton spoke to a number of us. I know as I was singing it, I was thinking that same thing. God never moves without purpose or
plan.
There you go. And I was, we know who wrote that song, Ron Hamilton. And I'm not sure if that was one of those songs that he wrote after he lost his eye or not. But he
was right during that time, waiting for the eye surgery.
Okay, right during that time when he lost his eye. And what a testimony of God's grace to the inner being to be able to write a song like that, knowing that you had cancer in your eye and you're going to lose that eye. And then to give God credit that he doesn't make mistakes, he doesn't do anything. It's all according to his plan. I think we all need to be reminded of that, don't we, as we go through life. You know, when we're a kid, we really don't have a real grasp of life. But by the time you reach my age, you realize life is not a bowl of cherries. Or if it is, it's got its load of pits in there. And cherry pie happens to be my favorite fruit pie. And I, over the years, as I have consumed those slices of cherry pie, once in a while, there's a pit in there. Somebody forgot to get that pit out. And that's the way life is for us, isn't it? It's not all peaches and cream. But as a believer, we can trust our Father and know that what he brings to us, he will give us grace to bear it. And if you don't believe that about your Heavenly Father, you don't really know him. He never gives us more than we can bear. He doesn't always tell us why it's happening to us, but he never fails us. You can mark that down as a free one this evening, okay? All right, let's look to the Lord in prayer. We are thankful, Father, that we can be here this evening, and I thank you for these few whose hearts you touched and they put forth the effort. We're thankful for the chance to worship you. I pray that you would be glorified in the time that remains. We trust that you have been glorified in the singing and the testimonies already. And now as we turn to your spoken word, I pray that you would guide, lead, fill me, control me in what I say, what I don't say. We thank you for this truth. Speak to my own heart. I need tonight's message. And I pray that we might all glean from it. In your name, I pray. Amen. Andrew, for your title role back there, let's call this one Too Busy. Too Busy. I think every one of us would agree that there are many things that are unequal in life. What do you mean, Pastor? Well, does everybody have the same amount of money? Does everybody have the same amount of talents? What about skills? What about opportunities to maybe have this job or to experience that. Everybody have the same opportunity? Is it equal? Intelligence. Everybody equal there? There's a lot of dummies in this world today. I hate to say it. You listen to the news media, and some of the things that they say and some of the things that they are portraying, I'm thinking, you gotta be kidding. You are insulting my intelligence by presenting this. Yeah, I know, my wife gave me, oh, Jerry, you shouldn't have said dummy. But there is one thing that is equal, and it's equal right across the board. And do you know what that is?
Time.
Time. Every one of us has 24 hours a day. Not a second longer, not a second less. We all have the same amount of time. But what we do with our time differs greatly, doesn't it? But the truth is, every one of us has the same amount of time to use. Many times we hear, this is going to be one of those messages that I'm going to be saying our key word. Sorry about that. Quite often, people use the excuse, I don't have enough time. Or, I'm too busy. As the reason that many things don't get done. Sadly, sometimes this is the reason people give for not praying. I'm too busy. I don't have enough time. Yet when we look at the life of our Lord Jesus, we see that the busier he was, the larger the crowds which gathered, the greater the decision that he faced and was going to have to make. You know something interesting about our Lord? The more he prayed. Okay. How did he have that much time? As we think of this, E.M. Bounds, and I'm going to be referring to him and several times this evening, he says, nothing is more conspicuous in the life of our Lord than prayer. Really, when you go through the Gospels, that is one of the main features we learn about our Lord. Well, this brings us, first of all, this evening to the mystery of Christ in prayer. What's the mystery? The mystery is, why did he pray? Stop and think who he was. Why did he pray? E.M. Bounds, and by the way, if you would like a good book on prayer, E.M. Bounds is a writer of old, a generation or two ago, but a number of years ago I got my hands on, he wrote a number of books on prayer, and one of them is entitled The Complete Works of Prayer, The Complete Works of E.M. Bounds on Prayer. It's got a lot of material and a lot of great truth if you're interested in something that's worth reading on the title of prayer. Why did he pray? Listen to E.M. Bounds. He, the maker of all worlds, the Lord of angels and men, co-equal and co-eternal with the everlasting God, the one who was referred to as the brightness of the Father's glory and the express image of his person, fresh from his Father's glory and from his Father's throne, behold, he prayeth. To find him in lowly, dependent attitude of prayer, the supplying of all suppliants, his richest legacy, and his royal privilege to pray. This is the mystery of all mysteries, the wonder of all wonders. Why did he pray? He was God. Why did God pray? But he was also the Son of Man. And as such, he exemplified the importance of prayer as a man. We find here prayer was the secret of his power, Mr. Bounds mentions. The law of his life. The inspiration of his toil, the source of his wealth, his joy, his communion, and his strength. To Christ Jesus, prayer occupied no secondary place, but was exacting and paramount, a necessity, a life. The satisfying of a restless yearning and a preparation for heavy responsibilities. As we think about the mystery of Christ in prayer and see how important it was to him, does not his devotion to prayer instruct us as its necessity for our lives? If he was so dependent on prayer, surely we must give ourselves to it. If he was so concerned with staying in fellowship with his heavenly Father, shouldn't we be also? But how do you find time? That's the big question, isn't it? Some of us might be saying, well, he didn't live the 21st century like we do. Things were a lot different back then. Life wasn't on a roller coaster like it is for us. If the Lord would have been here in our day and age and trying to keep up with what life is for us, he would have had a little bit difficult time in finding time to pray. Really? You think so? We've seen, first of all, the mystery of Christ in prayer. Why did he pray? Because there was nothing more important to him than prayer. That's why he prayed. Number two, the example of Christ in prayer. The example of Christ in prayer. What was the example? This addresses the question, when did he pray? When did he pray? We talk of being so busy with schedules, appointments, commitments, that we don't have time for anything else. And we all use those excuses, don't we? Notice I'm not saying you, I'm saying we. We all know what I'm talking about this evening. The busyness of life. What about the Lord? How did he have enough time to pray? Let's look at what Scripture gives to us and notice the times he prayed, and maybe we might discover some times that we could pray if we look at the examples our Lord set for us. For instance, if you turn to Mark chapter 1, verse 35, when did he pray? He prayed in the early morning hours. Mark 1, 35. And it tells us, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day. What's that mean? He got up early. He went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. This isn't on the notes, but you could find two things here about the example that he set. Number one, he got up early. And number two, he got off by himself. He didn't try to pray when he was in the midst of all kinds of commotion going on. Maybe we could learn something from that. Early. He got up long before the day began. Could you, could I ever get up before the day begins? Before all those things that we have on our schedule for the day? We could if we wanted to. The Lord did. He had a full day ahead of him. And by the way, the context of this, he had a very busy day before he went to bed that night. And he didn't use the excuse, man, I've got to sleep in some because today was such a busy day. No, he had had a busy day before that 35th verse. But he got up early the next morning before that day's activities began. The psalmist in Psalm 5, verse 3, said this. Don't turn to it, just jot it down if you're taking notes. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. In Psalm 119, verse 147, the psalmist said, I prevented the dawning of the day. That's the old King James word. You know what that means? I get up before the dawning of the day. I get up before the dawning of the morning. And cried, I hoped in thy word. So, as we think about the example he set, we see one of the times that the Lord chose for our example is early in the morning. B, turn to Mark chapter 6. And this one is late at night. Mark chapter 6. Notice verses 31 through 35. He said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no time or leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. And the people saw them departing. He was trying to give his disciples a little bit of free time. But the people saw him, many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all the cities. They outran them, they went ahead of them, and came together unto him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were like sheep, not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, this is a lonely desert place, but now the time, it's late, it's far past. Send them away that they may go into the country round about, into the villages, buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. In the following verses, we discover that at the end of a busy day, the Lord provided the food through the 5 loaves and 2 fish. But our story, to find the example our Lord set, we turn the page, at least in my Bible, and we come to verse 45. After he had fed the 5,000 men plus women and children, in verse 45, straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, what did he do? He departed into a mountain to pray. So we find after the full day's work, late in the evening, he had sent his disciples away. We find that rather than sitting down and saying, boy, this has been a busy day. Man, no. He took care of the people. He met their needs. He sent his disciples away across the water. And then he went away to pray at the end of the day. Maybe we could learn something from that, from our Lord's example. Maybe it's the early morning hours would be best for us. Maybe it's at the end of a very busy day. Maybe that would be the best time for us. But let's look at C. Here's another example. Luke chapter 6. In Luke 6, notice it says in verse 12, it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12. Whom he called apostles. What do we see here? We see the example our Lord set here in Luke chapter 6. He prayed all night, and you know what the context was? He was on the verge of making one of the most important decisions of his whole ministry. Who should I choose to be my apostles, whom I will send forth after I'm gone. The Lord prayed all night about that decision. And when it was morning, he called his disciples unto him, and of his disciples, after he had prayed all night, he chose 12. Well, there's one more that we could look at. D. When did the Lord pray? Well, sometimes he got up early in the morning before the day began, before he got too busy. He still took time to pray. Sometimes after a busy day, and he knew he still wanted to talk with his Father. Sometimes due to the importance of the situation he found himself in, he spent the whole night in prayer. But D, let's look at Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. And here we find in verses 15 and 16. But so much the more went there a report or a fame abroad of him. And great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. What's the context here? With the increase of fame and the numbers growing, the more people were learning of his ministry, the greater the need to pray. When did he pray here? This was right in the daytime. And he just, in the midst of all that was going on, he just withdrew and he went into the wilderness, got away from them, and he prayed. Why? Because he knew its importance to his ministry. Once again, E.M. Bounds, we find this. It says, Jesus was always a busy man with his work, but never too busy to pray. The divinest of business filled his heart and filled his hands, consumed his time, exhausted his nerves. But with him, even God's work must not crowd out God's praying. Saving people from sin or suffering must not, even with Christ, be substituted for praying, nor abate in the least the time or the intensity of these holiest of seasons for him. He filled the day with working for God. He employed the night with praying to God. The day working made the night praying a necessity. The night praying sanctified and made successful the day working. Too busy to pray gives religion Christian burial. It is true, but it kills it nevertheless. And do we get the picture of this matter of prayer with our Lord? Someone has said that a person takes or makes time for things that are important to them. End of quote. We saw that with Christ. What about you and me? We take the time, or we make the time for what is important to us. How's prayer rate on our list of priorities? Finally, number three, we've looked at the mystery of Christ in prayer, why he prayed, the example of Christ in prayer, when he prayed. But number three is the intensity of Christ in prayer. How did he pray? How did he pray? In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7, it tells us this. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard, in that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. What's the answer to this? How did he pray? As we look at this point, the intensity in prayer. We find that his prayers were offered with supplications, strong cryings, tears. Prayer was no lighthearted exercise for him. Is it for us? Do we work at it? Once again, E.M. Bounds says this. He prayed with prayers and supplications. It was no formal, tentative effort. He was intense, personal, and real. He was a pleader for God's good. He was in great need, and he must cry with strong cryings, as Hebrews says. Made stronger still by his tears, in agony, the Son of God wrestled. His praying was no playing a mere part. His soul was engaged, and all his powers were taxed to a strain. We need to pause and look at him and learn how to pray in earnest. Do we have any questions as to the importance of prayer after looking at the habits of our Lord? What an inspiration and a command to pray is the prayer life of our Lord Jesus while he was in this world. What a commitment it is on the value, the nature, and the necessity of prayer. Busy? Too busy to pray? Can this really be? We have the answer to that. Let's stand and we'll be dismissed with prayer. set for us. Challenge each and every one of our lives. I don't pray enough. I don't pray with all the intensity that I ought. I don't make time for prayer when I ought to be. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you've showed us about this important thing of prayer. You, the Son of Man, the Son of God, all in one. You showed us how important this matter ought to be. Help me. Help all of us here tonight to take this truth to heart. May it not be said of us that we are too busy. We ask this in your name, Lord. Amen.